The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own. This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
That seems to be what's going on. So, yeah, Sunday's result wasn't bad enough for you. And, you know, the injuries weren't bad enough for you. Just the confirmation that three Washington Redskins out for the rest of the season. And not just three, you know, players, but three starters out for the rest of the year. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. And, not our style to sound. So, well, number one, you never want to see a player get hurt and be out for the rest of the season. I mean, nobody wants to see that. So we're sad about that. Also sad because, look, we can say next man up and all the other kind of, you know, cliche thing, the things that you say. But this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt the Skins. This is going to hurt the offensive line. This is going to hurt the running game. This is going to hurt the, pass protection. And so bigger than just a 38-14 loss, it feels as if, more is lost than just a game.
Well, first of all, we're still in first place. Let's not forget
and
that.
And every week that you're in first place and the season continues to, you know, proceed towards the end is one where you're closer to winning the division.
Let me tell you an old joke somebody told me, an old country dude told me. They said that somebody was trying to play a prank on a young boy, right? And so they said, we got a present for you in the barn. Mm-hmm. And he gets to the barn and there's a pile of horse manure in the barn. So the little boy jumps for joy and grabs a pitchfork and just starts digging. And they say, what are you doing? They said, well, all that manure, there's got to be a pony in there somewhere. Right? So that's the situation here, right? What we're looking at is an opportunity for some people to make their mark in this league, because you cannot tell me that there are only 32 guys in this league, in this country, in this world, that can do these particular jobs. There's got to be guys who are just waiting for an opportunity, and now they have this opportunity. So I'm not going to throw the towel. If you remember, the world champion Philadelphia Eagles lost their left tackle last year, and they thought it was all over, you know.
Well, and they lost their starting quarterback last year.
And they thought it was all over. But they came out with a ring. So we're not going to throw in the towel yet. We're in first place. But we do have a couple of criticisms to throw at the boys in Burgundy, because I think they could have been better.
But LaValle, Sheriff, and Richardson on injured reserve, they're done for the rest of the year. Go right ahead.
Right. Yeah, they're done. But a lot of them were done before the game started. I don't understand this. You cannot tell me, the Atlanta Falcons are that much superior. They could be a better team than the Burgundy and Gold. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell me they're that much better.
Yeah.
Number two, you cannot tell me they're unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Unstoppable. Right? How is that possible? I've always said that this defense is too easy to recognize. It's not like you're fooling anybody. It's not like you have superior talent where you can say, just come at us and we're going to stop you. Mm-hmm. You got to mix it up with something. It's like the Falcons came into this game knowing exactly what they had to do
and exactly
where they had to go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And did that and just straight up beat the man in front of them, you know, especially on both lines of scrimmage. I mean, their offensive line seemingly bullied our defensive line. And same thing the other way around.
Well, you know, I got this thing. I think since we only have three offensive linemen, we should really have four, you know. And then, like, instead of four linebackers, we should have three. I think that might throw some things around. Because there was a reason, you know, 3-4 defense used to be really popular in this league.
Mm-hmm. I never understood why, but anyway, go ahead.
It started going away because people weren't used to it.
Right.
But see, Joe Gibbs made his living. That whole kind of trade thing was about the 3-4. It's about getting your offensive tackle and guard against the opposing size linebackers,
right?
You know,
that's true.
It's about the mismatch. Mm-hmm. So the 3-4 went away, but some some, what do you call it?
Geniuses.
Genius.
Self-proclaimed geniuses.
Yeah, wunderkind, soothsayer, a fortune teller, uh-huh. something. Say, hey, I got a brilliant idea. We'll bring back
the three, four. That never worked before.
Yeah, they won't be ready for this one.
Right.
That's, you know. And, you know, maybe it's possible that in the past week, you know, a lot of people were heaping praise on the, quote, Alabama wall, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense and Spurgeon, possible MVP candidate, so on and so. Maybe they start reading some of those press clippings, right?
Yeah. And then, believe in a little bit, believe in the hype somehow.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the Falcons sure read it, and they said, oh, no, you're not.
Right, we're going to go there and beat you guys.
Incredible.
So the Redskins, by the way, signed three offensive linemen, guard Luke Bowanko, guard John Cooper, and tackle Austin Howard today.
Is that basketball?
Again, I know. You're talking about Austin Rivers, right?
Oh, yeah, Dwight Howard.
Right, a mixture of the two, Austin Howard. Yeah.
Both of them, right.
And they also placed, again, Sean LaValle, Paul Richardson, and Brandon Sheriff on the injured reserve list. They're out for the year. So, yeah, just trying to put some patchwork stuff together to see how they can make, you know, still make a push again towards the playoffs. Now, again, you're still talking about a team that is number one in the NFC East. Yeah, with the Eagles kind of breathing down the neck, but you have two games against the Eagles, and so you figure if you split that, you still have kind of a cushion there, right? You got a one game cushion here that you can still kind of make your way towards the end of the season, and still be in first place.
We're in good shape because I believe the Cowboys and the Giants, or the Cowboys and the Eagles play each other next week, I believe. Is that coming up?
Let me check the schedule.
Yeah, I believe so. And then, you know, they're going to knock each other off, right? It'd be some like...
Well, the Eagles are going to knock the Cowboys off.
Oh, yeah. Somebody, yeah, that's another situation.
Although it would help the Redskins, you know, plight if the Cowboys would show up for a game and actually play football and beat the Eagles.
That's quite challenging. We're going to have the Burgundy and Gold fans root for Dallas?
Yes.
Man, that's going to be tough.
Greater good, right? I mean, that's what you. Yeah, the Cowboys are at Philadelphia, and it's a Sunday night game next week. Oh my goodness!
All right,
that's going to be very entertaining to watch.
So, but it's all moot unless the Burgundy and Gold takes care of business in Tampa.
Tampa Bay, 1 p.m. kickoff in Tampa Bay. Like you said, moot point. But yeah, the Cowboys and Eagles play each other. It's a game that you'd want the Cowboys to win again with the Redskins still having two games against the Eagles coming up. You end up beating Tampa Bay, and it's so funny because here we are on November 6th. That's when we're recording this. And we're talking about possible scenarios or just ways to kind of get to winning this division. Who thought that would be the case? You know? But I'm glad we're having the conversation. Look, if the Cowboys can find a way somehow to win Sunday night in Philadelphia, and the Redskins beat Tampa Bay, you've just given yourself a two-game lead over the Eagles. With two games against the Eagles coming up.
If you split one of those,
you maintain, if you split with them, you maintain that two-game cushion with, what would that be, five games left on the schedule?
Here's the problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that both of those games will be meaningful games, and the league will probably flex those games into nationally televised games. Mm-hmm. That has not worked out too well for Burgundy.
No, it hasn't.
That has not worked out too well. So if that's the thing, I don't know, maybe we ought to talk to Coach Grude, and we got to get that 1-2 coach back in here. The chick who dove across the finish line of the Olympics, right? Got to get her back in here, right? Because we got to want to. They got to really, really want this. We can't play wounded. We can't play scared. We got to go on the offensive. And speaking of offensive, the offense.
Very offensive.
There was something wrong. You can't blame Adrian Peterson. You just can't, because the Eagles did what they had to do to take him out the game.
Mm-hmm.
They had to do that. That was obviously the game plan, right?
Right.
And they were just out of sync. The easy passes that Josh Dotson dropped early in the game. Mm-hmm. The one where he was sliding backwards and the ball hit him on the shoulder pads, I had never seen Alex Smith throw the ball that hard. He had some mustard on that bad boy. Just zip it in there. Because Josh came back and made some tough catches later on, including the fade pattern they've been running for the past 3 years.
That's never kind of worked out.
They've always run it to the right.
Right.
This is the first time they ran it to the left.
No one thought, let's try it to the left.
No one has thought about that, right? So, I was really concerned when the guys went down. And the holding penalties, you know, I went back to my thing where I believe that all holding.
A lot of penalties. Oh,
holding should be legal.
A lot of penalties.
Because you can call it, it's too arbitrary. You can call it anytime you want to. So just eliminate all that. Mm-hmm. Just make it legal.
Right.
Let's say you can't hold the guy and bring him to the ground.
Yeah, right. You can't tackle a defender.
Right.
You got the jersey, you can hold on to
the jersey. Right, you can hold on to the jersey. That'll make guys wear start wearing spandex or something, right? You know? Remember the old
Crisco
days? Remember the old days when you used to have the tearaway jerseys and stuff, right? You know? That'll cause the guy, but you can't just arbitrarily call it sometimes. I mean, and they were calling holding on running plays and holding on pass. Every time that there was a successful play, there'd be a holding call. It's like they were like, you know, I'm not blaming the refs. You know, I believe, like, I've always believed that you can win in spite of the refs, right? You just got to try a little bit harder, right? You know? So, but there's something wrong here. There's something seriously wrong with this team. No more of this stuff about Alex needs to learn the offense and stuff. Now, Maurice Harris caught 10 passes.
Right. Yeah.
Right? He's in the offense. He knows that part of it. He knows the offense whenever Vernon Davis is in the game, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he knows the offense when it's time to hand it off to Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. So there's certain things, there's something bothering him about playing here, about this offense. Mm. There's something that he just doesn't like. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was you that mentioned to me that you look at the people that Alex Smith has played for. You know, he's played for Jim Harbaugh.
Yep.
Andy Reid.
Yep.
You know, and then, you know, both of them pretty accomplished football minds.
Yeah. They know what to do with quarterbacks.
Yeah. And he comes here and sees this and says, I don't know about this stuff here. But, you know, you're going to pay me lots of millions, so I'll just go along with it.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
You know? But yeah, at some point, when do you pull the trigger, as I tweeted at Stanfield Kevin? When do you pull the trigger on the Colts?
But do you think we're at that point? Do you think we're at the point where, you know, again, the team is, 5-3? Do you think we're at the point now?
You know what I think it would be? I think it would be halftime at the Tampa game. I think unless there's a drastic improvement at the first.
Really?
I think that's the time.
But the coach hasn't seemed to be frustrated or anything with the starting quarterback at this point.
That's the problem.
Right.
That's
okay.
I don't think
the coach is at the point. You're at that point.
I'm at that point because there's still
a
chance to win.
Right.
If your quarterback is part of the problem, then we can't do anything about the offensive line injuries.
Right.
All we do is get more linemen, maybe dumb down the playbook a little bit, get a little bit more aggressive, and instead of trying to trick oration, just beat the man in front of you.
Right.
Said the success of this offense is determined by you beating the man in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Not making him think you're going left and your cousin is going right and then your uncle's going to come get the ball with a reverse and pass. So, it's not about that.
Yeah.
You beat the man in front of you. That's what we're going to have to do from here on out. So that's why I say all that manure, there's a pony in there, right?
Yeah.
We're going to get more aggressive on offense. But if your quarterback is not showing any improvement, if your quarterback is like the weak link, I mean, how many receivers? You can't blame. Maurice Harris caught 10 passes.
Yeah. Well, this goes back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. It might have been after the Carolina win, or maybe it was after the Dallas win, that, you know, a win is a win, yes, but not every win is a good win.
Right.
That kind of cements you or puts you in an argument to being an actual, like, good team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so those wins, the Carolina win, you know, if Cam Newton doesn't sail the ball 2 or 3 times at the end of that game, you know, who knows what happens? They could win that game. If the Cowboys kicker doesn't clank the field goal, if the long snapper doesn't move the ball before he snaps it, he probably makes that field goal. And who knows what happens in overtime. And so, yeah, you're looking at 5-3, but it easily could be 3-5. So when we were talking about, you know, it doesn't matter how you win, it just matters that you win. Yeah, to a certain extent. But short term, sure. But long term, no, it definitely matters how you win. Because then you'll get a team like Atlanta coming to town, who folks have been saying is having a down year. I mean, they were 3-5. They've got offense. You know what I mean? And they can put up points.
And then you know what I got so tired of hearing last week?
And so don't give me this stuff about Tampa Bay being 3-5, folks.
Yeah, we don't want to hear that. Oh, it's an easy schedule to wrestle. No! All these guys are professional football players.
Look, exactly.
I got so tired last week. Julio Jones hasn't caught a touchdown pass. That, to me, that meant that he was due. He's still Julio Jones. But we mentioned last week, sitting in here with Rodney, about Ridley and Julio Jones. They're still there.
Yep.
There's still a presence.
They play on the team. Exactly.
You can't be surprised that
Matt Ryan almost won a Super Bowl. And these guys know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. They do know. But then again, the coach doesn't because he was throwing the ball in the Super Bowl instead of running it. Anyway, that's a moot point. But what I didn't know, two things. And I'm not just trying to be funny here. You know, it was like, You know, there was like this great move, this great acquisition. I understand that he's a great player.
I mean, news around town here, especially at one of the other sports talk radio stations here in D.C.
I love the move.
You thought it meant Super Bowl. Oh, this is going to make this defense probably top three in NFL history is what they were acting on. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
I wasn't on the air, unfortunately, because they wouldn't let me on.
Right.
But I had two things about that. Number one, if he was that great, why did Green Bay get rid of him? Green Bay isn't think of it right now.
He got
some maybe a contract year coming up next year, but that's next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year, then talk contract.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you get rid? You don't get rid of a player.
Green Bay, by the way, who today stands at 3-4.
right.
They got rid of him.
Right. That's only like two, a game and a half up behind. You know,
yeah. Well, it's the exact same situation in the North as it is in the East. I mean, the Bears. And the Bears, the Vikings are 5-3, like where the Redskins are, and the Packers are 3-4, and the Lions are 3-5. And the Cowboys are 3-5, but the Eagles at 4-4. So it's a similar situation, right? Not that far back.
Yeah, the only people who get rid of good players are the Raiders for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that was the one thing. The second thing is a little bit more convoluted, but I kind of had a problem with them bringing somebody in the middle of a season, when you got your team, and these guys have been together since mini camp or the OTAs, mm-hmm. which they call organized team activities, and the word is optional because they don't have to be there. So if they never show up, don't listen to the people who blame the player for not showing up because it's optional. That was a tangent. I just had to get it out there.
I just had to.
Okay. But these guys have been together. Guys like Nicholson mm-hmm. and guys like Fabian Moreau, mm-hmm. the Sager, Strowman. I like Strowman out mm-hmm. of Virginia Tech.
Right.
Uh-huh. Those guys have been together, and this thing was starting to gel, right? Mm-hmm. They survived the Monday night massacre in New Orleans, right?
Right.
And they were coming together and starting to believe in themselves. And the first thing you do, you just go interject somebody else from off the team, mm-hmm. and then almost has him starting. If he wasn't in on the first series, he was in on the second.
Right.
Guys are human. They gotta feel that, man.
Absolutely. And if you're them, you've gotta look around like, wait a minute, we're not the issue here. Like,
hey, look,
we're 5-2. The defense is obviously carrying the team.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing in someone else?
Giving my friend a job. And this is what I was thinking about. Like, we do this radio show. Now, if I came in one day and Claude said, yeah, you're doing a good job, man, but we're going to bring in Wilbon. You know, he might do the show. But, you know, we just want to add some depth.
Right.
Matter of fact, let him take the first show.
Right.
What is going on
here?
You can't tell him. I know the professionals that make millions of dollars, but these are people. So what they did is they destroyed the chemistry of their team.
Yep. And what happens is there's just that feeling. It just gets awkward and odd, and it translates into everything. It translates on the field.
That's right. So they're going to
have to. And you can't tell me that some of those things that happened in that secondary might not have been a communication issue or an understanding of the scheme issue with how Clinton did.
Right. Well, it was obvious that there were certain things they couldn't call because mm-hmm. he was on the field and mm-hmm. they couldn't audible out of it.
Right. Because right. he wouldn't know what to do.
Right. Yep. Because me, I would have said, hey, they're going to throw in the middle. Let's call the play that gives us some coverage in the middle. Let's go zone because they're burning us on these slants, right? Uh-huh. Let's do something. Oh, you don't know how to do that yet. Okay. You know. But this is, it's easy for us to say this on the sideline, but well, maybe it's because we're better coaches.
Maybe so. But anyway, man, I mean, there was so much from that. I mean, wasn't that, that was how Clinton Dix got drug into the end zone by Julio Jones, was it not?
Yes, it was. Yes, yeah. It was. By the way, one of the plays at the time I thought was one of the dumbest things, because with all this, the Berkeley and Gove were still in this game.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
They were still in the game.
Until late.
After Josh Dotson caught that fade, mm-hmm. they were down two touchdowns.
Right.
They were down two touchdowns. And then they stopped the Falcons on the next series.
Yep.
So some good play calling, mm-hmm. some good execution. They're down by one. They're down by a score.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I mean, as opposed to being down 14-0, when they came back, you know, you saw the team, you saw the spirits being lifted up a little
mm-hmm.
bit,
mm-hmm.
but it's just like they have no concept of the situation. They have no concept of imagination. They're so determined to force their system and say, my system is working so well, it's got to be the guys who are executing it that aren't working. So we're just going to force this. Eventually it'll work. But the season's only 16 games long.
We've already done 8 of them.
That's right.
So
that's
we're
right.
Halfway through the season.
So that was kind of roundabout the way of saying, because you originally asked me about the quarterback, if I thought it was time to pull the trigger. Yes.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you. There
and,
you go.
And not permanently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking if he's not producing at a high level, they don't even have to be behind.
Two, huh?
At halftime at Tampa Bay, because that's when you do it. You don't do it at home and embarrass the guy in front of the home fans. If it's not clicking at halftime at Tampa Bay, it's time to unholster the coat.
Okay.
And then, if you know, no matter what,
you bring Alex back.
You bring Alex back.
Okay.
But you know, Alex knows either,
short leash.
Yeah, I got to straighten up here and perform.
Mm-hmm.
If he has it in him to do that, he will. Yeah. If he doesn't, it's time to go with the coat.
I feel the same way, that if I don't pull in and produce here on this radio show, then it's time to pull me out and put somebody.
Well, I'm still not gonna bring Wilbon in here on you, man. You know, that's
funny. What's interesting too, though, is that what was shocking from Sunday was not necessarily the bleak offensive performance. It was the defense just allowing the Falcons to go up and down the field and score at will. Were you shocked by that? I mean, the offense we saw Sunday is the offense we've been seeing all season.
Like,
That's not a shock. But I was shocked by the defense's performance.
Well, for one thing, like I said, it's too easy to determine what they're doing on defense. And when Greg Linusky was assistant coach, I think he was a linebackers coach or something, and we had the guy from San Diego who had like won one game in Detroit as a defensive coordinator, right?
Oh yeah.
And then we have. Jim, the other guy that was there before, that I was wondering, why is he here?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that Minuski, and I'm kind of disappointed because Minuski is old school. I remember when Minuski was here during the Joe Gibbs era, he was the wild man. He'd run down on kickoff coverage with his chin strap flapping in the wind.
Uh-huh.
But what we need here is a little imagination. We need to see when you have your initial set, and they're slicing it like Popeil. Like, I don't know if you all owners remember Popeil and the Vegematic and stuff. It slices and dices. You got to change.
Uh-huh.
You got to do something different. And some of the things were just physical mismatches that the Falcons were bright enough to exploit. Like Mason Foster is too slow to cover fast running back and pass coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Kerrigan cannot cover a linebacker and certainly can't cover a receiver.
Right.
Some of those plays, they had Mason Foster covering Julio Jones.
Yeah, and that's a big-time mismatch.
That's crazy. Where does that work? But the problem here is we can see that. Why can't they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's the Federal Football Report on the Federal News Network. Kevin Stanfield in the studio. I'm Claude Jennings talking about this Redskins loss to the Falcons.
In first place.
Yeah, still first place.
Yeah.
38-14. Coming back, we'll do fake news or not. We'll also take a look at the NFC East. And in the third segment, I'm going to share with Kevin how I saved lives at a wedding this past weekend. That's coming up on the Federal Football Report. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. We're trying to get through the game itself. Yeah, sure. I mean, who wants to lose? But you're 5-3. The big news, the three injuries. I suffered to the Redskins, receiver out, Richardson and Laval and Sheriff. Sheriff being, man, you know, the big name there. But America, you know what time it is. It's the second segment of the show, and so you know what that means.
It's time for fake news or not.
Three questions and three statements. I always say questions and never questions.
Right,
three statements that I give to Kevin. He lets me know whether it's fake news or not. This is, and actually, and we're recording this, by the way, on Election Day.
That's right.
So, you know. What better night to have, fake news or not than on election?
Really, that's where it all originated. Right.
Exactly. So here we go. Fake news or not. Statement number one. Man, the injuries to the offensive line, the two, Laval and Sheriff going out, is going to mean big issues for Adrian Peterson and the boys.
I think that's fake news.
Okay.
That's fake news. And I'll tell you why. We hit on it a little bit in the first segment. It simplifies your run scheme. It simplifies what you want to do. You can't have all the fancy intricacies that you're trying to pull. And that may have very well caused the injuries, man. Because if a guy is 6'7", 350 pounds, he's not meant to take a half step to the front and go five steps to the back and then three to the side.
His doing body, the cha-cha slide.
Yeah, his body is not meant to do that, right? You know, his body is meant to get down, get low, destroy everything in front of him right now. Right. Pulling guard like Sheriff, that's going to be missed. Mm-hmm. But all guards pull. You learn how to do that in high school football, right? So we're going to see what these guys got. Mm-hmm. We're really going to see what they got. So it's fake news, right?
So they may have to switch some things up, but it's fake news. It won't affect it too much. You know, it's interesting because a lot of times when you see like some of these great quarterbacks, there's a discussion of a great quarterback made a receiver. Like they say, you know, Brady hadn't, outside of Moss, hadn't had, you know, that great Hall of Fame receiver. Same thing maybe with Aaron Rodgers. But the ones who are good, like with Aaron Rodgers when he had Greg Jennings, made Greg Jennings good because he's Aaron Rodgers, although, you know, Greg Jennings still had to catch and run.
Anyway. Yeah.
So, but
yeah,
anyway, that goes to a whole different discussion. But is it possible that if you can just get in front of a guy and put your helmet on him, Adrian Peterson can make you look good as a blocker?
Oh, absolutely. They're just going to have to simplify some things and change some things up. I heard it was a great piece of radio today. It was on another network. I shan't mention the name, but I'll mention the players. Doc Walker had a former Hog, Jeff Bostic, on. And they were talking about offensive line play. And he said two things that fascinated me. He said, one, he told all the fans to look at the offensive line. He said in his day when they played, they were like 3 feet apart, maybe 3 to 5 feet apart between him and the guards and so. Mm-hmm. And he said if you look at the line nowadays, the guys are like
ankle to ankle.
Yes. And he says what that does is that brings the man who lines up ahead of you in front of you, that brings them closer together. So it decreases the hole. There's less chance of having a hole there. He says it's a simple thing. He said it's one of why people keep doing it. And second thing he said was,
that's an interesting question.
Right. For a young football player, a young lineman, it's much easier to pass block than it is, I mean, to run block than it is pass block.
You've said that a lot. Yeah. You've said that a ton on this
show. Right, because it releases your aggression at the defender. You're not on your heels saying, oh, God, what kind of move is he going to put on me, right? You know. So that's why I think this might be Adrian Peterson's best work is yet to come.
Okay. Question number two, or statement number two. The defense, the same way the defense recovered from the New Orleans massacre, it will recover from this game and will play stellar against the Buccaneers, Texans, and Cowboys.
That's fake news as well.
Oh,
that's fake news as well. Because they got, they're featuring like all pro talent in Mike Evans.
Okay.
Right. Then they got, Houston.
Deshaun Watson and
Watson. What's the receiver's name?
Hopkins. Right?
DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, okay, all right, let's do this again. Wait a minute. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. They're facing Mike Evans in Tampa. Then they got DeAndre Hopkins coming at them in Houston.
In Houston, yeah.
Then
they
got a number one draft pick.
Zeke or Coop.
In Dallas, right? So there's some talent coming. There's some talent coming. This trade that they made, it better be a good one. It better start paying dividends, right? All of a sudden the guy, Nicholson was hurt all of a sudden. Out of nowhere, it seemed like he was playing fine the week before. And, you know, I'm just hoping that the politics of that situation doesn't affect what they're doing, because I can see fingers being pointed already. Like, you're supposed to be doing this, you're supposed to be doing that. And, you know, there's a delicate balance, man, the leadership and anarchy, right?
We're
going to have to, see. We're going to need some production finally from Ryan Kerrigan and Preston Smith. By the way, did you notice how often Preston Smith was being somersaulted? Go back and look. I think it was illegal what they were doing to him. But a couple of times on blitzes, they were hitting him so low. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was illegal. But check that out. Check it out. I believe it was illegal. Okay. I really, really do. So this is going to be a test. This is the biggest test of the defense. Tampa, it's Tampa. But Tampa put up, I believe, didn't they put up like 40 points on New Orleans or something like that?
Yeah.
This is going to be a test, so they better come to play.
I agree with you. I think it's fake news. I think that, How many times do we see in a season, especially with this team, where we've seen a season start out bad, but they get on a roll, they get hot, they get into the playoffs. And we've seen the converse here as well, where they start off hot and then lose it towards the end. And so we saw the defense play stellar the first half of this season.
Yeah.
That's great. I think the only collapse was the New Orleans game and then this Falcons game. That doesn't mean the rest of the season is going to be this way. You know
right.
what I mean? Every
right.
game that you have on your schedule, you have to go out there and, as you say, assert your dominance, you know, show that you are, you know, as Dennis Green once said, who we think you are, you know? And so every week that you play well, it doesn't carry over to the next week unless you carry it over to the next week.
That's right.
So I do agree with you. I think that that's fake news. Statement number three in fake news or not. So I'm looking at the standings. You've got the Redskins, number one in the NFC East at 5-3. You've got the Bears at 5-3 in the North. You've got the Saints at 7-1 in the South. And you've got the Rams at 8-1. Those are your division leaders. Then if the playoffs were to start, you'd have Carolina at 6-2 and Minnesota at 5-3 as your wild card. There will only be one player from the one team from the NFC East that makes the playoffs this year, fake news or not.
Fake news.
Okay.
Fake news.
Because people getting two in.
If by some miracle, the Eagles win the division, it's going to be a miracle. I mean, I've seen earthquakes, you know, earthquakes, tornadoes.
You've seen Stranger Things.
Trump being elected president. I've seen Stranger Things happening. But we have the tiebreaker with Green Bay.
Right.
And we have it against the Panthers.
Head to head, right?
Uh-huh. So we're good there so far, right?
Okay.
You know, now we're a little trouble if it's New Orleans.
Okay.
So
you think that's fake news?
Well, you know what? Here's part of the problem.
And that's assuming that the Redskins don't win the division.
Right. But there's got to be an attitude change around here. We're not satisfied with winning the division. Mm-hmm. We're not satisfied with making the playoffs. Yeah. We want to win it all.
Well, who got in that whole argument with Brian? Was that Stephen A. Smith that got into an argument with Brian Mitchell
about this?
And it wasn't about that in general. I think it was two years ago.
One of the guys said, we're the beast of the NFC East.
And he's
right.
like, what are you talking about?
You ain't the beast of nothing.
And Brian Mitchell had said something about making the playoffs. And Stephen A. Smith said, oh, I'm sorry. Is this the team of Gibbs of the 80s? What won all those Super Bowls? You know, and
Yeah. But, you know.
You're right. You're echoing his sentiments. Like, it's not enough to just make the playoffs.
We got to start thinking. We're not thinking of the back door slide in, sneak in. Once we get in, anything happen. No, we got to believe we can win it all.
Right.
We got to believe in ourselves, right? We got to believe in the guy playing next to us. We got to believe we need a new defensive coordinator. We got to believe that we need to bench Alex Smith.
Right. Well, here we go. Let's do this. That's fake news enough for you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed the segment. But now, let's give away those Stanfield Player of the Games, Kevin. So who wins your Stanfield Player of the Game?
Let me pause this right now because I forgot the guy's name.
All right.
3, 2, 1. Well, my Stanfield player of the game, the guy who to me demonstrated the values that Stanfields stand for.
I like that. This is what Stanfield stand for.
I'm giving them to Jerron Christian.
Okay.
The rookie offensive lineman from Louisville who came in like in the middle of that carnage, right? And I believe he was playing right tackle for he may have played some left tackle too. And you know, he held his own. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they gave him a little help every now and then, but he wasn't doing any worse than the rest of those guys did. And he wasn't playing like he was a swinging door.
Right.
So I admired his heart, right? I admired his strength, his courage, you know. He was a Stanfield player. He brought his stamp. See, that's something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guys on the second team, right, they don't think they're going to play. A lot of them, not of them hope they got to play, but they always got to be ready. Right, so you know
that's true.
I bet you a bunch of players on this one. I'm not gonna wear my Stanfields. I might not need them. You always need your Stanfields.
You always need them. And Jerron had his on.
He had his on, right? So he gets our Stanfield player of the game. Let me mention. I think this might be a good time to mention Francis Stanfields because they contacted me and they were very, very happy with the relationship that we have. Right, as we are.
Absolutely.
As we are.
Could
not be happier. And they came up with the suggestion that we should have some type of contest, right? And the winner of the contest is going to get an official Stanfields Love Pack, right?
I mean, and this is going to be some amazing stuff. Let me tell you, when Stanfield said they're going to send you a pack, they're going to send you a bunch of stuff in a box, right, man. I mean, a bunch of stuff.
They said this is their winter package, right? So there's no time. You know, Stanfield's based in Canada, right? You know, the Great White North.
So they know winter.
They know winter, right? And fans of Game of Thrones will know this expression. Winter is coming. We do that. We fix that. Winter is coming. So we're quite excited about that. So we just have to determine the type of contest we're going to have. Now, I have a suggestion. Now, Claude didn't go for it. My suggestion for a contest is whoever sends me the most money wins.
Yeah, somehow I just feel like that's not like what we're looking for.
Yeah, I talked to Lisa, the boss, about it. But that'd be easy to find out who wins, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, so stay tuned, right? You know, we're going to come up with this special Stanfield's contest, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I guarantee you that.
Absolutely. And you'll enjoy the product, by the way. Stanfield has some great product.
Great, great stuff.
And you'll love it. More than just underwear, but the underwear is phenomenal.
Yeah, really.
So anyway, I think Stanfield play of the game for me. I'm going to give it to our three players that we lost for the season. You know, sometimes that can be heartbreaking. And you know, you never want to see a player go out, never want to see a player go down, never want to see a season lost to injury. So keep those Stanfields on, gentlemen, and we'll catch up with you next year. And recover well. That's what fake news or not, that Stanfield player, of the game. You know, what's interesting, Kevin, when we look ahead, I just want to take a look ahead at Tampa Bay. You know, here's a team, you talk about, you know, whether or not you want to pull the string on Alex Smith. Here's a team that, you know, has their own quarterback issues, or at least, you know, earlier in the season, you know, Winston's your starter, then he gets into trouble, and then, you know, Fitzpatrick is starting and he's playing phenomenal, then he does what he normally does.
Right.
You know, Fitzpatrick will play very well. He'll throw 6 touchdowns in the game. He looks unbeatable, and then he'll throw 6 interceptions in the next game. And so he did what he normally does. They put Jameis back in, and they're like, oh, God, this is not working out. They put Fitzpatrick back in.
Well, when Jameis first came back off suspension, he threw 4 touchdowns in the first game.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah.
Then he lost his mind again.
Who knows what happened?
Four picks in that game. Yeah, you know.
So they got that whole thing going on. What do you think is the key to getting a Redskins win against Tampa Bay?
I think the key is to not act like your opponent's inferior to you.
Mm-hmm.
That way you won't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play like you're playing Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
You can't like relax. You just cannot relax. You have to play with an edge to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the coach is going to have to trust these guys and let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to let them go. And they got to put the guys in positions to win. And that's my issue with the coaching staff right now. They're not putting their players in the best position to win.
Mm.
So we have to play like we're playing the Patriots. Mm-hmm. We got to play every game. And this is so ironic. You know what happened? The two things happened the last time the Burgundy and Gold met the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What's that?
First one was Code Red.
Okay.
It was a Code Red. It was the Code Red game.
Uh-huh.
And the second thing was, you like that.
That was the you like that game. Oh, wow.
They were down 24-0, and Kirk Cousins brought them back with some help from the Buccaneers because they played such an undisciplined brand of football. So many personal foul penalties, help extend drives and stuff.
So
but anyway, Kirk helped right through touchdown passes. The you like that game, so I don't want to get to that point.
Yeah, not
at all. I want to like it from the beginning.
Yeah, you know, I think that some of the key, the offensively, the key is going to be, like you said all show long, don't get too fancy.
Right.
Man, healthy dose of Adrian Peterson right in between the tackles.
That's what
it is. There's no need to try to get fancy. Don't overthink things. Don't underestimate the Buccaneers. They've got a pretty good defense. Defensively, you know, we need that line to step up. We need the Alabama wall to show up, you know, and need the secondary to play very well. Cause like I said, they've got, you know, Mike Evans over there and he can play football.
Yes.
He's a pretty good receiver.
Good size guy.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you want to.
And you know what they probably did? If they were good coaches, they probably watched the film of this last game and said, wow, these crossing routes look pretty good. Mm-hmm. And you know, the isolation worked pretty good. The screen pass works pretty good. Let's incorporate some of these things.
Exactly.
That's what I would be doing if I was coaching against the Burgundy and Gold.
What can't they stop?
And they couldn't stop anything. So that's the problem. That's what the plan was. They were going to give Tampa so much stuff to watch on film, they were going to be confused. They don't know whether they want to run screens or draws or slants. Tampa Bay just going to be so confused they're going to implode.
That's, there you go.
It must be what they want.
That must be what's going to go. Yeah. What's going to go down. What's going to happen there. So, yeah, there you have it, folks, our predictions. No, that's just what we think they need to win. What's your prediction?
Oh, prediction 38-17, Burgundy and Gold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Colt McCoy coming in throwing 3 touchdown passes in the
Colt
second
McCoy
half.
Coming in. Yeah. Not only are they going to win 38-17, you said.
Right. Yeah, because
the McCoy's going to come in. And
it's going to be like at halftime. It's going to be like 17-7 Tampa.
Wow.
And
okay.
Then all Alex right. Smith's going to seriously slip on the bar of soap or something at halftime. Colt McCoy is going to start. He's going to throw 3 touchdown passes. Adrian Peterson's going to run for one, and the defense is going to pick off Fitzmagic and run one back. A lot of stuff going to be happening.
Sounds like a
Monte Nicholson, as a matter of fact. At the Ha-Ha Dick's Twist is like, right.
Well, you've got a very entertaining game happening.
How about you?
I've got 24-16 Buccaneers.
Oh, what's
24-16.
Oh, that's happening. You will see Colt McCoy.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You will see Colt McCoy.
Game, right?
Yeah,
against the Texans.
I can't do that. I can't pull him. You know, that's gonna be Jay Gruden's biggest coaching job of his career. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever pulled a quarterback.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So this is gonna be the biggest job of his career. If they don't produce, no more excuses. Mm-hmm. No more excuses. This is it.
Very interesting.
Code red.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Coming up after the break, we want to laugh at the Cowboys and then we're going to talk about this past weekend when I saved a few lives at a wedding. That's coming up on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, finishing out another week, another show. Oh, man, week 8. Kevin, we've already done the show 8 times.
You know what? And we have been in first place longer than we have ever been during one season since we've been doing this show, man. It's an amazing feeling, right?
And we're talking about the team. This show has always been number one.
Oh, without a doubt. They would just listen to us, man. They'd be a lot better off. You know, but I'm not saying they don't, but, you know, they're contractually obligated to listen to another station.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, there you go.
The other station, or used to, or something sold. I don't know what's going on.
They
should be listening to us.
Yeah, absolutely. So this weekend, I was at a wedding. Two friends of mine, Tim and Tracy, they got married, Tim and Tracy Butler. And we're having fun, man. We're at the reception, and everybody's having a good time. Now, these little small candles, these, like, tea-like candles?
Yes.
Normally, people put them in, like, a vase.
Yeah, or some water. Something that float around. Yeah.
It was odd because they had them on the table.
Oh, it's not good.
And usually, nowadays, those tea lights are all electronic anyway, with, like, little batteries. They're not real. These were real. So they've got these small little tea lights, candles on the table, like 6 of them around your table, around the centerpiece, and they're lit, like a legit fire.
Yeah.
So we're all just sitting around eating, you know, having a good time, laughing, talking, waiting for the food. And then all of a sudden, a friend of mine who was also at the table, her name was Candace, she says, "Something smells like it's burning."
Hmm.
And then she looks down and she's like, "Oh my goodness, the table's on fire." Our table. The table's on fire. So I look.
Oh God.
And one of the programs from the wedding is on fire on the table, fully engulfed in flames. So what does Candace do? She pushes it down towards me, which is fine. I'm an adult. I can handle this.
Yes.
I used to dream about being a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the paper and I start like patting down the fire, trying to put it out.
Yeah.
So I get it out. But now you've got this smoke and this smell of paper burning and all these ashes here on the table beside me. Tablecloth all ashed out and burnt out.
Apparently
what happened is another young lady who I don't know who was sitting at the table with us, she was getting bread out of the basket, and she pushed the basket away from her. The basket pushed the program over the tea leaf can, the little tea leaf, whatever.
Yeah.
And because it wasn't covered, it was just out in the open burning. It goes right across it. So anyway, that happens. We kind of laugh about it. Everybody's okay. I save the day. I bow. It's all good.
That's a good thing.
Then we smell something else is burning. The table behind us, the cloth, you know, when you bring bread out, they'll have the bread covered with the cloth. A waitress put the bread down on the table, opens it up, and then walks away. And the cloth is on fire. I mean, and so we're like, So my wife gets up and blows out all the candles on the table.
Right,
like, this is stupid. We've seen two fires already.
Yeah.
People are starting to drink now.
Right.
And so just blow the candles out. So that's my wedding on fire. Usually, so the kids now, they say when something's good, it's on fire or it's lit.
Yeah, yeah.
The wedding was literally lit and on fire.
Let me share this with you. Years and years back.
Oh, and I don't mean to interrupt you. So I was sharing that with a friend of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
He said this happened at a wedding he was at, except it wasn't the at the reception. It was during the wedding. The bride's veil caught on fire because they had all these candles lit and stuff. And so she's standing there. She turns around to say something to her groom, to her husband to be, and turns the other way to face the minister again. And the veil brushes over a candle that was there for decor, and it catches on fire.
Oh man, was she all right?
I mean, yeah, they snatched it off,
right? Yes. Like Michael Jackson Pepsi moment.
Exactly. Yeah, took it off, and then there you go.
Yeah. It's amazing that your depiction of this, because the same, it wasn't at a wedding, but my wife and I were at a restaurant, and they had one of those, it wasn't that type of candle, it was just a regular candle in a short glass, and they brought the bread out, and you know, opened the bread out, and we're sitting there, and we smelled something, we looked down, and the napkin is on fire. And I didn't want to, like, slap it, so I reached and grabbed a beer off the next table.
Did you? And you doused
the bread and everything, and had to buy a guy another beer, right?
Right, but, right. You know, but still, you needed a thing.
But I needed something, right? You know, right? And
that, by the way, so here's what's funny about that. So remember, I mentioned the lady Candace, mm-hmm. right, who said the table's on fire. Rewind to about a year and a half earlier, New Year's Eve 2016, going into 2017, the same young lady, Candace, and her then newly fiance, Milton, were hanging out with me and my wife for New Year's Eve. As a matter of fact, we were over at the Grilled Oyster Company right across the street from here.
Okay, all right.
And he had just announced that that they were engaged. We're all happy. Yay, engagement. You know, champagne for everybody. Come on. You know, so we're all he's explaining the story. And he gets so nervous just talking about this story of when he popped the question, he knocks over champagne all over me, all over my pants, not over himself, all over me.
Oh,
so
man.
Milton's at this table where the fire is going on. I'm like, don't grab any water, Milton. I've got it.
We got it, Milton.
You're going to miss the fire.
We got it, Milton. We got it. We'll take it from here, Milton.
I'm sure that
because besides your support, the whole wedding party is quite happy that you happen to be around, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're quick thinking. Right. Yeah, you save tons of lives, but
exactly.
Yeah, you should go into the business of being a wedding planner.
They call me a hero. I say it's just a Sunday afternoon for me. I do this regularly.
Well, they say ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Exactly.
Right. So, I mean, I've seen those candles that are like, even not even plastic, they're like paper.
Yeah.
And it's like a little breeze that blows
right,
and the paper
right,
flickers
right,
like
right.
tissue paper. I said, that's ingenious, right? You know, you can do anything with
Why
that.
Why not
but.
Use that? But no, we've got bare little lights lit up.
That's if you're wedding planners and you're listening to us, I know you are, mm-hmm. don't do that.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and laugh at the rest of the NFC East. It's a kind of old laughing at the Giants, right?
Yeah.
And really the only team worth laughing at right now are the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
That pathetic game against the Tennessee Titans. There's no way if you're the Cowboys, the Redskins are number one in the division. They just lose. Then they've got three starters that are out for the season. You're one game back from the Eagles, and you come out and lay an egg against the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football.
It's really strange. I don't know. People have been calling for Jason Garrett's head for a long time.
Rightfully so.
Troy Aikman got on the radio in Dallas, said that, you know, because that was his backup quarterback, so you know they're boys mm-hmm. or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said the whole organization needs to just be blown up.
Absolutely.
Start over again, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
100%.
But what do you do? I mean, you just can't stop. Apparently, that's what's trying
you know,
to be
I
done
look
in
at
Oakland.
The team,
right?
The defense itself seems to be okay. Their defense isn't the problem. I mean, they seem to be a little bit above average defense. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right,
close,
right.
They seem to be good, close to great, but fine. They're decent. I look at the play calling. I mean, yesterday, because again, we're recording on Tuesday. They're up 7-0. Their kicker missed another field goal like he did against the Redskins. He misses a field goal. They're up 7-0. They get the ball back because the defense gets another turnover. Screen pass to Zeke. They're down at the 3-yard line. It's first and goal. And they pass the ball. You got Zeke. You got Dak who's 6'5", 250. And they pass the ball. And Dak throws an interception. The game's, play calling.
Yeah, that's You know, I jokingly said before the show that maybe organized crime got into the NFL meetings and said, you're going to pass the ball all the time now because it's good for our stats. It's good for fanboy and do game do or whatever they call those things, right? Or something. But, you know, and it just infuriates me when I hear guys talking about the quote, old NFL. This is the new NFL. It's a passing league, you know. No, mm-hmm. It's a winning league, right?
Exactly.
Whatever it takes. It's like you're embarrassing yourself if you win It's like, well, Adrian Peterson rushed for 100 yards, but we're sorry. You know, we did, our offense isn't clicking. We're in third. We're in first place there, mm-hmm. but we just got to get clicking. You know, no. You're winning. Start mm-hmm. from there.
Exactly.
Look at what, I'd say something else the Falcons did that I've heard guys say, I mean, guys like Doc Walker and Brian Mitchell say, if you run a play and it works, run the same play.
Run it again. Do it again.
Do it until they stop you.
And it's so stupid talking about, well, you know, it was first and goal and we figured, you know, that they'd know we'd try to run it, so we wanted to do something. Like, who cares if they know what you're doing? If they can't stop it, they can't stop it.
You tout
having the best offensive line in football and you tout having the best running back in football. Why take the ball out their hands?
Yeah, that's crazy. It's
but
crazy.
Why do we care?
It's ego, man. Yeah. It's all ego, man. You want guys, you know, it's not ego in Dallas. I think it's just, for lack of a better word, incompetence. I just don't think he's good
100%.
Enough to do what he's doing, right?
You know, I agree 100%.
You know, because you got the same quarterback who has a rookie who was an Aaron Rodgers away from mm-hmm. taking you to the NFC Championship
yep.
game, right?
Yep.
You know, so that's the same guy. You don't lose. You don't forget
how
to play
football.
You still got Zeke, right?
It's not Zeke's problem. It's not Dak's not the issue. It's not those guys. It's not the offensive line's problem. It's not the defense's problem. And it ain't Amari Cooper, who, by the way, came in and just showed that, yeah, these other receivers aren't that good. I mean, he comes in, had like an extra week because of the bye week, and he's the most productive receiver on the team.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, so, anyway, who cares? Oh, it's Dallas.
That's right. That's right.
We'll see what happens.
First place, baby.
Still in first place, 5-3, even after the loss. Tampa Bay, that's coming up this Sunday, and we'll have detailed analysis like no other on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network next week. Thank you guys for listening.